And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head. See if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street. Or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own heads and see where it takes us. So last week, made another journey, another little road trip. I recorded the podcast early so you guys wouldn't notice. Got that released on time. Luckily, I went and I visited family. They were in the path of totality for the eclipse. Another fun thing to be able to go see. Something I didn't think that was going to be possible. And lo and behold, through circumstances of, number one, being out here and having a kind enough boss to be able to make the drive and somehow being able to afford it, still cheaper than flying, getting an Airbnb. But got to hang out with the cousin and their family. Get to reflect a little bit more on the extended side of the family and how we all interact, things that are passed down. Reflecting a little bit back on the funeral, running into a different cousin, seeing how he has aged. And it's kind of funny, of all the people that were there, all the people of my family, this one cousin starting to look a lot like my grandfather. Just kind of cool to see that kind of transpire, come about. And then talking to the cousin I was staying with and their family, the realization, maybe they had seen it a long time ago and just needed someone else to confirm it with, or maybe they've already had the conversation and it was just the one that we decided to come upon, but something that the women of this side of the family, they all have a fire in there, something epigenetic that kind of gets passed down somehow through the genes. Just kind of a little bit different than what I wanted to talk about, but observations that I've seen just with this side of the family, how prominent things can be. But one other thing that's been passed down through the family has been recipes. I've got an aunt that makes, she calls them monster cookies. And everybody's got a version of the monster cookie. Come across it a handful of times at stores around here. Sometimes labeled a little bit differently, but something that the aunt would make when I was a kid. And I know that somewhere around here, I've got the card of that that was written for me, passed down to me, probably through my mom, handed off to my mom, and given to me when I moved out. So if I ever want to make monster cookies, I've got my aunt's super secret family recipe. And when I was visiting with my cousin, we made my grandmother's beef stroganoff, all written out on that 3x5 postcard. And it was pretty cool, something that, again, lives on after they've gone beyond, something we get to remember them by, almost like we're getting to sit at the table with them. And my uncle that died, when he died, his children and grandchildren didn't turn the house upside down, but they scoured the house. They were looking for it. He had a beer-battered fried fish recipe that he never let anybody see how he made it, what his super secret special ingredient was, or just how he mixed everything together, if there's a certain layering technique. These little things that you learn within French cooking kind of stuff, that there's a way and a process in how things get put in, layered in, that creates the greater aspect of flavors. And I know there's certain ways of, you know, beating eggs and, you know, it's not baking, it's cooking. Baking is a science and everything's got to be specific and it's terrible. It's too much work. But cooking, freestyle. Get to embellish, create it, recreate it as your own every single time. And my cousin, they copied down the grandma beef stroganoff recipe. So now I've got a card of grandma's beef stroganoff recipe. Don't have the beer battered fish recipe. We're going to have to sit there and figure out how he did that, recreate it for ourselves. And I remember growing up, mom had a little card holder box that had all the recipes in it. Don't know if she still has it. Don't know where it went. We've kind of given way to all these recipes, me included. I have folders on multiple computers of all the recipes I've come across throughout the years. And going through whenever I want to cook something up. Go on the computer, dig out the recipe, figure it all out. And sometimes it's a matter of I have to open up three or four different recipes because I can look at them. I can't recite it from memory, but I can look at it and go, I use this aspect from that recipe and this aspect from this recipe and two pinches here and a dash over here, even though this one doesn't include either of those ingredients. But this cooking method, the way the temperature, the time set, you kind of, again, build it, make it your own. I don't care what website says they have the best super secret recipe. And sometimes they do. Sometimes they have a very good one. Sometimes I say you need to add more garlic, though. There's never enough garlic, no matter what the people next to you in church say the next day. But family recipes. Do you have one? Do you have family secrets? I guess there's always family secrets, family heirlooms and family treasures, but the recipes, the communal kitchen table where everybody comes around, because that was another thing that was brought up, talking about my grandmother and one of her lost recipes. She didn't make beer battered fish. She didn't drink. She might have a glass of wine once a year, didn't drink, but she would help out. Her super secret recipe was Sloppy Joe's. That doesn't sound too terribly hard. Especially when you can go down to the store and get yourself a can of Manwich or what other brands are out there. Make yourself some Sloppy Joes. Whenever she would be around in the area and knew someone, friends or family were moving, the last thing that she wanted people to have was pizza and beer. Everybody does pizza and beer. Grandma would do Sloppy Joes, make them all from scratch. And again, it made my cousin kind of sad that they didn't have that recipe, but again, it's Sloppy Joe's. How difficult can it be? Well, this last week, running low on what's available in the fridge. Haven't had time to go grocery shopping. It's kind of funny. I need a vacation for my weekend of vacation. I worked 7 days. I worked 6 days, but had one day off before I was back at work and then off to the races to travel and came back with another 5 day stretch before I get another day off. I'm tired. Need to go grocery shopping. But I made Sloppy Joe's for myself. I had some leftover hamburger buns from hosting a couple people the other week making hamburgers. And all out of regular hamburgers. Didn't want to make more hamburgers. Don't have cheese. So again, Sloppy Joe's. Inspired by my grandmother. And I've never been a big fan of Sloppy Joe's. They're always way too soggy. Way too sweet. There's just something wrong about it. Never been a big fan. But these Sloppy Joe's that I made might have been the best Sloppy Joe's I have ever had in my life. Again, it's one of those aspects that if I'm cooking, it's going to take me at least an hour to cook. And then I don't want to do dishes because it takes so long to cook. I want to eat. But everything got done. Everything got made. And again, just the silliness, being impressed by your own food. But sometimes it hits that point. Some of the best chili I've made has been one of those all-day cooks. Started at 7 o'clock in the morning, getting your tomato paste and your tomato sauce, and you're mixing it all through and getting your beefs and your pork set up and just let it simmer, long simmer all day, and eventually throw in some vegetables. No beans, easiest recipe on chili, no beans. But on those days that I've been cooking, this chili, this delicious, awesome chili, have been all day drinking days. Now maybe that makes the chili that much better at the very end of the day. But by the next day, you still have some leftover chili. It's still delicious. I have no idea how much of what I added to anything. Just one of those throw a meal together. It just kind of magically works. It's chili. It's not that complicated, but yet somehow I've made it complicated enough. There's been times I've gone back and I've made chili and it just hasn't been right. Sometimes it's been okay, but it hasn't been some of the better chilies that I've made. And so I wasn't going to do that with this Sloppy Joe recipe that I amalgamated and created to be my own. Decided to write it all down on a little index card, something that you used in school for presentations. Was able to fit it all, the ingredients and the directions on two sides of it. Ingredients on one side, directions on the other side. With some room left over, surprisingly. But even though I don't have it anyone to immediately pass this down to, but when someone's going through cleaning up my house, getting ready to sell everything, they'll have the Billy Bones Sloppy Joe recipe. Should spell that with a number 3 instead of the letter E. Make sure it's mine. Make sure people know what it is, who it came from. And maybe they'll have a Sloppy Joe recipe that they can sit and share with everybody else. Maybe I go through with some of these online recipes that I've gathered, and maybe I just copy them down, keep them simple enough, so that way I can go get my own index card holder box thingy, whatever it's called, and store my recipes up above the stove so they're quick to access, so I don't have to log into the computer and walk back and forth to the laptop, that place the tablet in such a special spot so that way it doesn't topple forward into the batter, and go through and create a collection of recipes. Again, make it easy for myself, because who knows whether or not I'm going to remember everything. It's in an easy to acquire location, so that way I know what seasonings I'm looking for. Kind of like my taco seasoning mix. I've just got that kind of labeled with the spices that I use, so that way I know which ones I can easily go grab. Eventually I'll remember it, but again, maybe that's a index card kind of situation. My generic chocolate chip cookie recipe, something you just find on the internet. Probably even something from the back of a bag of flour. I don't remember. It's endorsed by a company with that flour. But something simple, something easy, something that I don't have to post up on the refrigerator so I can remember. And I'll still keep my cookbooks, and I'll still keep the printouts. Sometimes you need something just a little bit more elaborate. But those little things, those little easy-to-go-to recipes that maybe someone else wants to have it handed off to them. And so you just bust out an index card and copy it over, and you hand over your super secret family recipe and let them know. Reminds me that I actually got to go dig out and find a macaroni salad recipe that I've lost and found and lost and found, and I've lost it again, but I need it. Before I left Washington, I was given a special bowl just for this macaroni recipe, this macaroni salad recipe. And it deserves to be remade. I'll have to find some more people to host to make it, because it is a different family recipe. I've been invited into that family through their recipe sharing. Now I'll be able to share on the greatness and pass on the original chef's name and keep them alive just a little bit longer. Because we stay alive as long as people speak our name, remember us. Good old Napoleon. That guy's never going to die. Billy Bones, I might be around for a hot minute or two. At least for the time being, I'm going to keep making podcasts. You guys keep listening to them. You guys keep having fun. I keep enjoying doing the show. And you guys keep donating. To Billy Bones, me, BILLYBON, the number 3S. Find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. You find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, at Billy Bones, at NoAuthority.social. I've got a website, BillyBones.com. Remember, that's spelled with the number 3 instead of the letter E. And there you can go there. You find previous shows and past shows and show notes, email, no show notes, no recipes. You got to be extra nice to me for me to share my delicious shop Sloppy Joe recipe. And there's a link that says Value for Value, because I release this show free of charge, no paywalls, no advertisers, so that way we can BS about whatever I want to BS about. No paywalls, no one telling me what I can or cannot say, in hopes that you find value out of it. And if you did, fantastic. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else finds a talking point, finds a reason to bust out some index cards and make your own super secret family recipe. But if you found that this show was worth a monetary amount of value, be that Federal Reserve Freedom Units or Satoshis, you're in luck, I take both. No U.S. dollars coming in today, but I've got people using Podcasting 2.0 compliant apps. Go to modernpodcastapps.com. Get into the podcasting revolution. We've got Dame Slamy coming in with a grand total of 6,911, streaming in 106 Satoshis from 4 different episodes over the past week. Thank you very much, man. We have Pocket Parlay Kyle from Light Tickle and the Light Tickle and Pocket Parlay podcast. Sent in a boost of 2,375 through Fountain. And he said, awesome episode as always. I enjoy the integration of clips about our great state of Tennessee. And he said, our. And then we have Sir John of the Allegheny Valley, who streamed in a whole 626 Satoshis listening to last week's episode. Thank you very much, everybody. I love you guys, and I will talk to you next week.